Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dave Richard with us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dave, I was just telling Dustin, I'm only doing three leagues this year. I've cut down. And I am a combined 1-5 in my three leagues right now. Terrible stuff.
No way.
I'm embarrassed. Yeah, I'm really embarrassed. In this one league I'm in, I'm 0-2. I have the third most points, and I'm 0-2.
Okay. So you know that it's like a fraudulent 0-2, and
yeah,
it's not even close to being what the truth really is. You just got unlucky for a couple of weeks. And
I
you
did.
Know what? You'd rather get these unlucky losses out of the way now than
True.
In weeks 12 and 13.
Good point.
It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And you have to make sure that your team peaks at the right time. You've got good depth if you need it. But most importantly, that you've got your stud starters. You don't have to make difficult lineup decisions. By the time you get to right around week 10, I say when you get to that point, the bench doesn't matter as much. Your studs are what
right.
are going to carry you through to the playoffs and the championship.
No doubt. Dustin 0-2 as well. Right, Dustin?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird week. I mean, like, in our league, I mean, the amount of points that were scored in this particular week, because this was one of those like free-for-all weeks where everyone plays against the average score of everybody. I mean, the average mm-hmm. score that I had to play against was, again, we have more of a lower-scoring league. The average score was 141 points. So I ended up a little bit short of that. But either way, I mean, my team's fine. I think all these injuries are going to balance some things out with the teams. It was a very high-scoring week, too. And I think as teams start to settle in, Dave, defenses, I do believe, will start to tackle better as we go. And
yep.
you'll see more field goals instead of touchdowns here as we progress throughout the season.
And you know this, Dustin, that when the season starts, there's all kinds of big question marks that defenses have to get answered. So they look a little silly and they get caught off guard. And then after about two or three games, defenses figure out how offenses are basically working.
Sure.
And if the offenses don't have a counterpunch, that they're just going to dominate them. So there will be some players that are really doing great now who might not do so great in a couple of weeks. And there's players that are struggling right now, and I can think of a couple that I think
sure.
in a few weeks from now, you're going to see them playing lights out, and you're going to wish that you had them on your fantasy team. It's the old buy low, sell high thing. You want to try and find the players who are buying low. Guys like Tom Brady should have had three touchdowns on Sunday. He only had one.
Right.
A.J. Green should have at least two touchdowns right now during the season. So should T.Y. Hilton. Those guys don't. Those are the guys that you go and trade for. And James Conner, by the other way, we've seen him get hurt in week one. Last week, most of his yards came when he was icing the game away for the Steelers. He had a 59-yard run. He doesn't look great. He looks okay. I might try and, after a weekend where a bunch of running backs went down, I might try and sell as high as possible on James Conner if I can afford to. Trade him off my team, get a stud back. You might be able to get DeAndre Hopkins for him at this point. People are so desperate for running backs. That's the name of the game. These are players that are doing great now. Maybe they're peaking a little too early. Maybe they're not as good as their stats suggest. But there are more players who aren't as bad, as their stats suggest. Those are the ones that you should try and trade for at this point.
Dave, obviously, talk about injuries, ton of big injuries. Saquon Barkley out for the year. Christian McCaffrey expected to miss at least a month. Drew Lock a few weeks. Garoppolo may not play this week.
Mm-hmm.
Davante Adams got banged up. Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman. And even some of the defensive or offensive line injuries can factor into fantasy, right? If you have the Niners defense, you maybe drafted him a round or two higher than other defenses. Well, they're not as valuable anymore. And even the Brandon Scherff injury, Washington could affect their running game. Who knows? It's a lot of injuries. Talk about the biggest ones and what we're doing to replace those guys, if possible.
You know, it's interesting. I thought that the Cowboys would really suffer because they were down 3 offensive tackles in their game last weekend. And you saw Dak Prescott run for a bunch of touchdowns. His stat line was ridiculous. But now they're going into Seattle, and the Seahawks pass rush isn't anything to write home about. But if that offensive line still isn't ready or certainly isn't good, then you're going to see Dak Prescott have a much tougher time against that Seahawks defense. I think that could be problematic for him. Offensive lines everywhere else, it's definitely a problem. Washington, poor Antonio Gibson, we thought he'd be a big-time pass catcher. I believe he has 3 receptions this year. Managed to find the end zone last week against Arizona, but that offensive line had 1 good lineman. Now he's on IR for the short term. They've got no good offensive lineman now.
Yeah.
And it makes you go back and think about what the Browns did fundamentally this offseason by adding Wills and Conklin and really fortifying that offensive line. Others, it's a year of attrition, and the team that sees the least amount of injuries is probably the team that's going to have the most success in December.
Dave, how about Waller for the Raiders last night? I mean,
not bad,
he ended up with 15 catches. I didn't start him this week, but I have him on my team.
You know, he's really turned out to be a fantastic player, and this was one of those games where Henry Ruggs was drawing coverage downfield. The Saints had to respect it, and Waller was beating the one-on-one coverage that he was getting, and he was really driving New Orleans crazy. And it's going to make other teams go, how can we replicate that? And so they've got the Packers next up, and they've got a great deep ball. Well, I don't know if he's great. He's a solid deep ball target named Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but it's something that the Saints are going to have to respect. So who could beat the Saints over the middle? Well, if Devonta Adams plays, obviously he would be a contender, but Alan Lazard kind of runs as fast as a tight end. It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up having more catches than normal, and he had, you know, even 50% to 60% of what Darren Waller had would be great for him. Or maybe they go with their tight end, Robert Tonyan, to step up. Or maybe they use their running backs. But that's going to be an example of how teams are going to go about beating up on a defense where another team had success against them, especially when it's a team like the Raiders that aren't considered, you know, a dynamic offense. They've got good components, but they're not necessarily, you know, this state-of-the-art offense. But they looked like it on Monday night for sure.
Dave, let me ask you this. With Barkley being out, who's a better fill-in, Devontae Freeman or Deion Lewis?
I think it's going to end up being Freeman. I mean, you just if you read tea leaves and you believe in that type of thing and on what coaches are doing, if they truly believed in Deion Lewis or Wayne Gallman, you can't forget about Wayne Gallman, they wouldn't have signed Devontae Freeman. But obviously, running the football is a part of what the Giants really want to do. Getting their running back in space to catch passes is also part of it. We saw that from Saquon in the 6 quarters he played. It breaks my heart to even say that. But Freeman is a decent pass catcher out of the backfield. I thought he looked better as a receiver than as a rusher last year. But that offensive line's terrible. Remember, Saquon had a hard time finding room to run behind that offensive line. You mean to tell me now Wayne Gallman and Devontae Freeman are going to have a better time? I figure I'm going to let other people in my league add Freeman, Gallman, and Lewis in that order off the waiver wire and let them spend their fab on those guys. Their only redeeming qualities is that those 3 will be splitting up the running back work for the Giants the rest of the way, and it's not going to be a case like Mike Davis in Carolina. He should be the primary guy for the Panthers so long as Christian McCaffrey's out. But McCaffrey could be back in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, somewhere around then, and then Mike Davis is useless for your fantasy team. So spending a ton of fab on him, you really only can do that if you're desperate for a running back. And that's the thing. People who had Saquon Barkley, they're desperate for a running back. They'll go and they'll use Mike Davis for the next 3 or 4 weeks and then find somebody else to latch onto when Christian McCaffrey comes back, or maybe they make a trade in between now and then to solidify their squad. Davis, I would go after Mike Davis off the waiver wire first among running backs and really among everybody. And then Darrell Henderson from the Rams really looked good. He really didn't. Last year, it looked like he had some vision issues. He was running into his offensive linemen's butts a lot. He didn't do that on Sunday against Philadelphia. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He didn't run with necessarily great acceleration, but he showed off those natural hands out of the backfield. He could end up being a very nice fit for the Rams. The only problem is the Rams, like the Giants, when everybody's healthy, we'll have three running backs being used week in and week out. But for now, Cam Akers is a little beat up, and Malcolm Brown with the finger, they say he's going to play. So for this week and maybe the week after, you'll get Henderson in a tandem. He won't be the only guy. But it's a big question mark what he will be once Cam Akers comes back.
Dave, how concerned are you about Barkley long-term? Like, if you're in a keeper league, are you trading for him? Like, as a, if you're a team that's out of it, are you, like, you know, if he's got a reasonable contract or – I mean, he was injured a lot last year. I mean, how concerned would you be? Is he going to still be an elite running back?
I guarantee you everybody in a keeper league or in a dynasty league that has Saquon Barkley can almost feel the shark circling them in the waters of fantasy football. And they're going to take a very hardline stance with Saquon. And they're going to value him like, all right, you're not going to get him this year. But he should still be a very, very good running back for fantasy in 2021, probably through 2023 or 2024. There's still an optimistic view with him. If we were drafting today in a dynasty league, Saquon Barkley might go in the second round in a startup dynasty league. That's right. Still exceptional value. Now, if you don't have Saquon Barkley and you're in a keeper league or a dynasty league, sure, you can knock on the door of the person that's got him and say, hey, sucks what happened. Are you trying to win now? If you are trying to win now, do you want to trade me Saquon and I'll give you some pieces off my team? That might be the move that I would make if I started this season 0-2 and I don't really have a great fantasy squad. What can I push to the middle of the table to get Saquon Barkley on my team for 2021 and beyond? But most people who have Saquon Barkley in a keeper league, they're going to value him like he's still one of the best 10 to 15 running backs in football for the next 4 years.
You know, how about the Niners running back situation? Jerick McKinnon's been hurt the last few years, has missed the entire season the last 2 years, but now he's the one healthy back there. Is he going to have a big role?
He's not the only healthy back. They've also got Jeff Wilson, who I think is a sneaky type of ad off the waiver wire this week. And he's going to be the thunder to Jerick McKinnon's lightning. And I would imagine that they're both going to get a lot of run against the Giants on Sunday. It's a game I think the Giants can actually win based on all the injuries that the 49ers have on defense. But Wilson, to me, might be a little bit more appealing in a fab type of a league where I know that not that many people are going to be on him, and I can spend 5% of my budget to get him versus 20% of my budget for McKinnon. Because once Mostert comes back and Tevin Coleman's healthy, McKinnon's going to go back to that third down role. And I'm not positive that the brain trust in San Francisco wants to lean heavily on Jerick McKinnon. They know that he's been hurt for the last 2 years. They're excited to have him back. They don't want to send him to the injury report now. They want to be able to use him now. So I would imagine that at most he'll play 50% of the snaps. He might be more of like a third down back, two-minute drill back, kind of the role that he's had. And then Jeff Wilson gets the rest, and that's if the 49ers don't make a move to add another running back to the roster. Remember this about Kyle Shanahan. He's just like his dad. He can find running backs anywhere. Off the scrap heap, a guy who's sitting on his couch right now picking his nose can end up running for 150 yards for the 49ers next week.
I was literally picking my nose as you said that, Dave.
Well, it might be you.
Disgusting.
Dave, we've got
quite time, Bull.
Not good. It's pretty ugly. Let's get some fan questions in here. Brian in Twinsburg says he needs a flex play for a full point PPR. Kenny Golladay, what's his status? Pittman, Lamb, or Montgomery?
It's going to be Golladay, especially in PPR, and it's starting to look like he will play. It's something that you've got to keep tabs on. But the matchup with Arizona, and really it's going to be every matchup for Detroit this year because their defense absolutely stinks. You're going to see Matthew Stafford have to take to the air. He'll be a better fantasy quarterback with Golladay back, so if he hits the waiver wire, you might want to consider picking him up. But Golladay absolutely is going to be a must-start type of fantasy wide receiver.
Jay asks, should he trade Cooper Kupp for Deontay Johnson, half-point PPR?
You know, if you can do that, it might not be a bad idea. Seeing all these targets for Deontay Johnson is really something. Like, I think it's 18 targets over two games. That's pretty ridiculous. And the touchdown that he had, go look for it if you haven't seen it yet. Roethlisberger didn't throw a great ball at him, and it was in tight coverage, and Johnson still came down with it. He's been making plays. I think if you're giving Cooper Kupp, that might be a little bit too much right now to get Deontay Johnson, but Cooper Kupp right now is basically living off of, you know, what he's done in the past as far as trade value and what his fantasy reputation is. I fully expect the Rams to rectify that sooner than later, but Deontay Johnson's playing great right now. I guess I'd be a little nervous to make that trade unless you really, really believe that Deontay Johnson is like the next Antonio Brown for the Steelers, or if he is what Juju was once upon a time. And if you believe that, then you should be willing to give up more than Cooper Kupp to get him on your team.
I just traded Odell for Deontay Johnson and Cam Akers in my keeper league. Did I make a good move?
Yeah, and I totally understand that. And you might be set up for the next 3 years with that trade. It doesn't look great now, especially after what Odell did on on Thursday, and thank goodness he did that. But you could be really, you might be sitting pretty by November.
I hope so. I hope so. Gene tweets, I have a tight end problem. Have Hooper and Gronk. Neither has done anything. Should I pick up Schultz or Sample?
I think Schultz is probably going to be the best, maybe the second best one. If you're picking between Schultz and Sample, I'll definitely take Schultz. He's in the better offense than Sample is in. Look and see if Mike Gesicki's on the waiver wire. I love his matchup against Jacksonville this week. And then after that, you might even be able to trade him for something because he had a big game in week two. But Dalton Schultz long-term might actually end up being the best tight end that you can find off the waiver wire. I kind of like the way that Jordan Akins is playing for Houston as well. That's someone for deeper leagues. And other short-term tight end plays, Jordan Reed, Mo Alley-Cox, if we still see Jack Doyle out for Indianapolis, you could see him end up getting some good numbers again in week three from Phillip Rivers.
J.K. Dobbins, is he a good gamble for an RB2 or flex since this person, David, lost Saquon?
Yeah, I almost think you have to. And honestly, it's his teammate, Mark Ingram, that might be the better guy to target in a trade, just have a Band-Aid on the running back position. But eventually it'll be Dobbins. Listen, if you can trade for Dobbins, go ahead and do that. Probably by the time that I was talking about with Bull, by November, you're going to see Dobbins as that main guy for the Ravens. But remember, Baltimore, they really like Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram doesn't look slow. Dobbins looks great, too. They also like Gus Edwards. They're going to use all three, and Lamar Jackson likes to run. So you could end up seeing a four-headed monster in that Ravens run game. There will be weeks like we had this past week where Dobbins is the one watching Mark Ingram get all the nice numbers.
Dave, I got another fan question here. Let's see. We got Timmy. He says, 14-team PPR, Ruggs, James Washington, Braxton Berrios. He needs one.
I think it's probably going to end up being Ruggs. Burrow had his touchdown in total garbage time for the Jets, although maybe every game for the Jets is going to be garbage time this year.
Yeah,
he could be okay. I think there's just more upside with Ruggs. You know, he can make one big 60-yard touchdown catch, and you got to feel like one's coming sooner than later. The matchup against the Patriots, though, is problematic. If he had better receivers than Braxton Berrios and James Washington, I would probably tell him to start those guys. Go to the waiver wire. See if you can find Russell Gage, Corey Davis, Golden Tate, and then maybe just for week three, Tre'Quan Smith. And throw N'Keal Harry on there as well. Those guys, those five wide receivers, I think have better appeal, at least in week three, than any of those receivers that you mentioned.
Dave, Antonio Gibson, Zach Moss. What do you think of them going forward this year and into next year?
I like Gibson better. I just like the way that he plays. And Washington can turn around that offensive line in an offseason if they really wanted to. And Gibson really hasn't been unleashed as a pass catcher yet. The thing that I'm watching from Buffalo is that both Devin Singletary and Zach Moss are getting outplayed by Josh Allen. And it almost looks like backyard football when you watch them play. It doesn't feel like there's this ironclad structure to what their offense is. I think that you're going to see Josh Allen continue to still be the catalyst of this offense. It makes sense for Buffalo to do that at this point. But Zach Moss is really going to become more of like a touchdown or bust type of running back so long as he's sharing with Devin and Josh Allen. It makes me not really feel good about having Zach Moss on my team. And the other problem that I have with Zach Moss, and this is about a long-term play, is that he strikes me as a running back that could incur a lot of injuries early on in his career. 3 or 4 years from now, I'm not sure he'll even be in the NFL. For now, he is, but he's splitting. It's no good. I'd much rather have Antonio Gibson.
All right, Dave, what's going on CBSSports.com right now?
Well, you know that we love talking fantasy football on CBS Sports HQ. It's our live streaming site. You can catch us on Fantasy Football Today every weekday at noon Eastern and on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern. But we also do Twitch streams, and we can answer fan questions on Twitch streams. We've got one tonight in less than an hour. Go to twitch.com/FFToday. You'll have your ad drop questions answered, your waiver questions, trade questions, all answered by our crew. That's tonight, 7 o'clock, twitch.com/FFToday. And you'll see it on our social media channels as well.
Dave, great job as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, you got to do better in your leagues, man. When we talk next week, I want to hear that you went undefeated.
Yeah, I hope so. At least 2-1. My keeper league team's a mess, but
right.
Anyway,
I mean, you can't let Dustin be the best at fantasy.
I know that'd be embarrassing. Thanks, Dave.
All right,
thanks, Dave.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.